and with Helen Scales. And this week we're talking about the science of archaeology, and we have with us Preston Miracle and Professor Martin Jones, and they're both from the Department of Archaeology at Cambridge University. They both work on something that's vitally important to every animal on Earth, and certainly it would have been vital to our ancestors, and that's the issue of food. What do we eat, and where does our food actually come from?
Well, shortly we'll be talking to Martin about plant genetics and what that can teach us about farming and how that first came about and how it spread. But long before anyone had settled down to tend the land, hunting animals was a very important source of food. And we have with us Preston Miracle. Hi, Preston. Thanks for coming into the studio.
My pleasure.
First of all, what sort of thing can we learn from the old remains of animal bones that are left behind, and what can it tell us about what people ate?
Well, the first trick, of course, is to sort out what animals the bones were coming from. And for that, we've got various kinds of comparative collections, so you can compare the old to the new and sort out the species, the age of the animal perhaps, which part of it was preserved and the like. But moving on from that, and in my own interest as a zoo archaeologist, so an archaeologist studying these zoological remains, it's really looking at the patterns of modification, say, from butchery or the kinds of damage from hunting and cooking that you might have, but also looking at the other animals that might have been using and collecting these animals, and trying to unravel, say, from Ice Age caves, which animals and which people, for that matter, would have been using these animals and bringing them into the site.
And were these animals that are still alive today, or are we looking at things that are actually long gone and extinct, and would we be quite surprised to see strolling around our countryside today?
Well, of course, the farther back you go in time, the more of the extinct animals that you have. A lot of my work recently has been looking at remains of about 130,000 years ago, at the time of the last interglacial period, so the last warm period, much like our own. And in these cases, from a site in northern Croatia, the site of Krapina, we have evidence of very large woodland rhinos that have long been extinct that these Neanderthals were clearly hunting, as well as large bison, cave bears, beavers, a whole suite of different animal remains that were coming into these sites.
And I have to ask, but I know that it's quite controversial and there are people arguing maybe both ways, but how do you feel about how much those ancestral people, our ancestors, were maybe contributing to the demise of those species that are no longer with us?
Well, it's very difficult to find direct evidence of just what happened to the Neanderthals. And for that particular issue, we're, of course, talking about something that happened about 30,000 years ago, so much later in time than the particular site I was talking about. My guess is that there is a fair amount of out-competition by these new peoples, but I think we can see from the ways in which the Neanderthals were managing the food and the ways in which they were hunting different kinds of animals that they were extremely competent hunters, and certainly in terms of their kinds of adaptations to the environment were in many ways very successful to these Ice Age environments.
So looking at the hunting now, how do we know, how can we reconstruct, what do we find in this sort of archaeological record that tells us about how our own ancestors went out hunting and what they actually used, the techniques they used?
Well, one question that one faces is, you know, were they hunting these animals as opposed to, say, just picking up dead carcasses, scavenging them, of course. And there are several lines of evidence one can look at. One is to look at what age of animal they were taking. So are they producing a structure of, say, very young and relatively old animals, which is what you would expect to be finding on the landscape itself if you were scavenging? Or, as we can see again from not just the site of Krapina, but many of these Neanderthal sites, that they were actually targeting animals in their prime of life. And so that's a very good sign that somebody was, you know, actively taking these animals rather than just collecting the carcasses. When you get to the animals themselves, if you look at the pattern of were they taking meatier parts of the carcass, were they, again, processing these meaty remains, it's, again, a very good indication that you had some kind of hunting as opposed to scavenging going on.
And what kind of tools were they using?
Well, what we have preserved is, for the most part, the stone tools. Some of these would have been serving as perhaps some kind of points on thrust spears, various tools for say, cutting into the hide and cutting up the meat. Many of these tools were most certainly used for making wooden tools. And unfortunately, very, very rarely have the remains of these wooden tools preserved.
And were they good at butchering? Had they, all that time ago, they figured out how to deal with these animals? Do we have any evidence of them of skilled stonework?
Well, I think quite clearly so. You can see that they were making a detailed use of the animal's anatomy to cut, say, these rhino carcasses up into smaller packets for transport. And there's a pattern of burning on the bones. You get burning on the very ends of them, for example, that suggests that these might have been roasted on the open fire. So yes, I think these were very competent in terms of their manipulation of these carcasses.
So we do know that they did cook the food, because I think we're talking about that a bit later on today in the show, is whether or not we actually have to cook our food. But do we generally find that cooking the meat was something that's been around for a very long time?
I would think so. The evidence is fairly fairly ephemeral for these time periods, and cooking is one of the real frontiers, I think, that we still are approaching and trying to get a better understanding of. But again, patterns of this kind of burning on the bones to me is very suggestive of some kind of roasting and cooking.
Thanks, Preston. And of course, one of the other things.